This is going to be a good example of what we talk about so often here on Issues, Etc. You might be one of those people, I've been hearing from them lately via email, who are just anxious to find out, when are you going to do your next thing? When are you going to look at the next preacher? I got an email just yesterday from somebody who says, keep analyzing popular evangelical preaching. Keep doing it. We need to hear this. We need to have our ears opened to the absence of the cross in popular preaching today. We need to not only realize that it's not there, but we need to demand of our preachers that the cross be reintroduced. What a novel idea. Let's preach the cross of Jesus Christ as Christian preachers every Sunday, every church, for every sinner. You might be one of those who looks forward to this. This is going to be a good example during this hour of several things that we talk about so often in other venues here on Issues, Etc. We're going to hear Juanita Bynum, a message she's doing in a series. This is from Sunday, this last Sunday. Juanita Bynum with her Weapons of Power program. She was in St. Louis recently. She's doing a series on the Lord's Prayer. She's going to focus on the words, Thy will be done, in this message. She has this weekly television program called Weapons of Power. And when she came through St. Louis, she has a Weapons of Power tour. Now, it airs on Wednesday nights on TBN. You may have seen Juanita Bynum. Very attractive woman. I had not seen her preach yet, and you'll be interested to see how she preaches. And some people, when you listen to it, might say, no, that's an extreme example, because she gets kind of worked up in the old style of the gospel preacher when she preaches. And towards the end of her message, the organist is going to start playing the little accent pieces between her phrases. Just listen past that, please. I am asking you, when you listen to this hour, to get past the shtick of the old-time gospel preacher and listen for the gospel. Is it there? Is the good news of Jesus Christ's perfect life, death, and resurrection there? Is it there? And also, get past the shtick and listen for a preaching that focuses on your personal experience, that appeals to your spirit of individualism. She's even going to say at one point, you know, when you got the spirit, you don't need anybody else. You don't need the rest of these people here. And focuses on the emotionalism. Listen, moreover, for this. This is a great example of a message that replaces Christ for you. That is, Christ who died for you, who lived for you, who gave his life for you, who bore your sins for you. It replaces Christ for you with Christ in you. Now, there's nothing wrong with Christ in you, but it is not a replacement for Christ for you. Jesus goes from being sacrificial, substitutionary Savior to being power source. He helps you do what you got to do. Or, actually, you're going to hear this with Juanita Bynum, first, you got to do what you got to do, then he'll help you do what you got to do. See, when we replace Christ for you with Christ in you, then all the emphasis goes on you. Now, as usual, here's our diagnostic test. It's designed to help you see in a simple way whether or not you're listening to a Christian message, as opposed to a message simply being preached by a Christian to Christians. Is the message itself Christian? Listen for how often Jesus is mentioned. Just keep track of it. Number two, how often is Jesus the subject of the verbs? When someone is the subject of the verbs, they're the one doing the action rather than the one being acted upon. And when Jesus is the subject of the verbs, if at all, what verbs is he the subject of? What is the preacher telling you Jesus does for you or is still doing for you? Now, there's a difference between someone could have listened to the first 2 hours of Issues, Etc. today and said, look, we didn't hear a lot of message of the cross. It didn't sound very Christ-centered, cross-focused, and you guys go on about that all the time. There's a difference between what we do here on the radio and what's being done when someone is preaching to God's people, especially in their own churches. Now, to give Juanita Bynum the benefit of the doubt, she is not doing this message from her own church. She's in somebody else's church. It's not her own church, but it is someone else's church. But Joel Osteen is preaching to his own congregation. He's the shepherd of the flock. He should be delivering the goods of the message of sin and grace. Charles Stanley, D. James Kennedy, Robert Schuller, when we've analyzed their messages in the course of issues, etc. These are people preaching to their own flock. Now, Juanita Bynum does this from the TBN studios. She's doing it with an audience. You'll hear the audience's response. And one might argue that she's there not... she's doing what we do. One might argue that. So we'll give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she's doing what we do here on Issues, etc., which is she's doing a show about issues and with trying to keep the focus upon the cross in whatever way you can and not doing the formal task of preaching. Now, people often misunderstand this. When we do a radio program, we're not doing the formal task of preaching. We're doing what the show demands of us and what the audience expects of us, but what the show demands, if we're dealing with the issues that impact the Christian both in the right and the left-hand kingdom, and we are teaching the truth, we're defending the truth and teaching the faith. I always get it mixed up, even after 5 years. Now, Juanita Bynum's got this message. Listen carefully. She's going to mention Jesus, and she's even going to use words like grace. How does she define them? She starts out by talking about the difference between a church service, and she's talking about the Lord's Prayer and the phrase, "Thy will be done." This is a series she's doing. She's talking about the difference between a church service and being in the presence of the Lord.
The last 3 weeks of the prayer, the Spirit of the Lord had been dealing with, and I have to say me, especially me, because of the assignment that he has given me. And the one thing that I found while in the presence of the Lord is that I'm beginning, people of God, to find the difference between being in a church service and being in the presence of the Lord. I found out something during this time of prayer, that it takes time to tap rims in God. Anybody can just get up and just go to hollering and praising God and thanking God, but I'm talking about getting to a place in Him that we've never experienced before. And I made up in my mind that I don't want normal church. I don't. I've been raised in the church all of my life. I was born and raised in the church all of my life, and I've seen it all. And you get to a point where there becomes another hunger and another thirst after something else more than what you're getting.
Now, this doesn't go with her theme, per se, but she's using this as her introduction. She's hungry for something else than what you would get in a normal church. She doesn't specify what it was she was getting. She will go on to specify what she's hungry for. She's going to go on to say she's hungry for the next level, really getting into God's will, and she's going to say later that that means not caring one whit about anybody else around you. It's pretty individualistic. And she's also going to go on to say that the way she gets this will is God just directly communicates with her and she writes it down. In fact, she says that at some point here in this sermon, she's just simply repeating what God dictated to her, a new Bible. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. But she's hungry for something else. She don't want normal church, as she calls it. She wants something else. She's bored. Is she bored with the preaching of the cross? I mean, that's what you might get in a normal church. Now, what she's doing here, this is code, folks. It's obvious. This is code for, you got those Christians who think they're Christians, and then you got us, who are real Christians, and we do it on the next level. We're like Emeril Lagasse. We kick it up a notch, and that makes us real Christians. You know, the rest of those people cooking out there on their cooking shows, they're all fine and good. Their food might keep you alive, but we kick it up a notch here. Lots of bam in our religion. Back to Juanita Bynum.
Now, see, I may not be talking to everybody tonight because Because my Bible tells me that this kind of word has been already designed for the remnant of God. That means there's a church inside of a church. There's a people that's inside of a people. See, that's the reason why sometimes you can begin to minister a certain word and you will see people sitting there with their legs crossed like, you know, well, I don't know whether or not God is here or not. And that's why you should never base your response to God on whether or not your neighbor moved. Because see, when God starts taking you to your next level, it has nothing to do with your neighbor.
I'll tell you what, folks, this is, now she's presenting it in a more extreme form, but this is precisely the attitude of American evangelicalism. Individualistic and experientialistic. And if you experience it, fooey with the guy next to you. He's backslidden. He doesn't have the spirit. If he doesn't get what you get, you've moved on to the next level. And fooey on him. No, your task is not to build him up. It's to build yourself up. So you go to church in American evangelicalism for your own sake. You go to church to... without respect to your neighbor or the person sitting next to you, if they don't get it, they just don't get it. I guess that's the way it is. A very different picture from why someone would go to church. Now, her church, that's, she says it's not normal church, where they take it up to the next level, it's every man for himself. If you don't get it, I'm not here to edify you. I'm here to edify myself. It's that plain and simple. But you know, that is the heartbeat of American evangelicalism today.
So when I begin to ask the Lord about this next level, I began to teach in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, about the Lord's Prayer. And I got to the point, Pastor Hope, when I got to the part about thy will be done. I've been stuck there for about 5 weeks. And I tried my best to race past that and say, well, you know what? I hear everybody in church saying, oh, the will of the Lord be done. Oh, God, thy will be done. And I was on my knees that particular morning praying. And I began to say, Lord, let your will be done. And God began to stop me and said, do you really know what you're saying? I said, well, with everything that I know, I'm saying, let your will be done. He said, but I want you to understand that you're not capable in your intellect to tap my will. He said, because the flesh cannot tap my will. Denomination cannot tap my will. Organized religion cannot tap my will. He said, because in order to find my will, there must be something on the inside of you that is ready to give up the place that you are in now and say, God, I'm ready for another level. And I don't care what happens. And Lord, if it costs my life, I'm ready to go to a place I've never been before. I'm ready to see you in a way that I've never saw you before.
I have to stop at this point. I hate to stop her because she's on a roll, but... Do you hear what she's saying? Get past the shtick, get past the emotionalism, get past the hype, and listen to the words that she is speaking. She says that being a real Christian, taking your religion to the next level, you can't get it from organized religion, can't get it from a denomination. How often have we heard this? And regardless of whether they preach Christ or not. Oh, yeah, sure, they may preach the cross and the forgiveness of sins, but that's not what it's about. It's about going to the next level. Going on to something else, going on to something new. She said, I'm ready. She says to the Lord, I'm ready to see you in a way I've never seen you before. The devil comes masquerading as an angel of light. If Jesus shows up and he looks like something different than what Scripture has presented him to be, if he looks like something different than the way you've seen him before, what does Paul say? Paul say, if someone comes to you preaching a gospel that is contrary and different to the one you received from us, what you saw and heard before, let such a person be anathema. Let them be condemned. And he goes on, he writes to the Corinthians, when people come into your assembly and they preach a different grace, a different gospel, and a different Jesus than the one you received before, that is, then the when they come saying, here, I'm going to show you Jesus in a way you've never seen him before, He says, well, you accept that. You accept that as though it's the truth, and it isn't. The Christian should never, I'll just put it in the plainest terms I can, the Christian should never desire to see the Lord Jesus in a way he's never seen him before. The Christian should desire to see Jesus the way he has presented himself from the very beginning in his word. Now, there's no novelty in that. There aren't going to be any big surprises or big aha experiences in that, but there is a Savior in that. What's the next level beyond salvation? What's the next level beyond the forgiveness of sins? What's the next level beyond Christ and Him crucified? Well, Juanita Bynum will answer that question. It's all about you.
So when God began to speak that to me, I said, Lord, I said, what are you trying to say? And he said, get a pencil. I want you to understand something. I'm going to give you something, and I want you to write it down. And he said, number one, you are responsive to God's revealed standards when you are in his will. That's a powerful thing right there. Because see, right now, you know, we got a lot of people that are in Christendom and said, you know, I'm saved. I'm in God. I'm in his will. And God said, according to what I'm giving you today, according to Matthew 7:21, there is something about your body. There's something about your will that begins to respond to God's standards when you are in his will.
And now, I just want you to note here very briefly. I won't interrupt this for long. She actually has said, and she's going to say it again, that when God spoke to her, she wrote it down. God's basically dictating to her new chapters of the Bible. If what she says is true, and if we believe that when God speaks it, it's his word and it ought to be taken as seriously as what we have in the pages of Scripture, she is claiming here to have received some more revelation beyond what God wrote in his Bible. She's writing new chapters for the Bible and delivering it here to her audience. You know, this is really nothing different. We talked about it last week. Nothing different than what Joseph Smith claims to have done. He claims to have heard again from God, this time through the golden plates. He wrote it down, and they ended up with the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and the Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price.
In other words, the argument in your flesh began to cease. That means when God said put it down, you just put it down. Oh, I'm not getting nobody to say nothing right there. That means when God said give it up, you just give it up. See, right now, I understand where our society is, because for the last 10 years, we've been going through this, what I call a training as to how to be, use excuses about where we are in God. Well, you know, I'm where I am right now. And, you know, I just praise God because, you know, I just thank God I'm not where I used to be. Well, how long are we going to use that as an excuse? Because though we're not where we used to be, we're not where God wants us to be either. And God began to call that the place of nowhere. He spoke that to me the other day in prayer. He said, I want you to be careful that you don't end up in the place of nowhere. In other words, you're coming from the place that I'm bringing you out of, but you're not going to where I want you to go to. Oh, my God. So you end up nowhere. He said, when you know my will, then your ears are fine-tuned to my voice. That means you're going to start, Lord, who am I talking to tonight? That means you're going to start doing stuff that the average church don't do.
Okay, so we're going to be doing, I'm sorry, I'm trying to suppress the giggles here. We're going to be doing stuff that the average church doesn't do. Now, it might surprise you folks, but here's where I agree with Juanita Bynum. A church that claims, or an individual, that claims to hear directly from God in addition to what God has delivered in his holy word, the Bible, will do stuff that the average church doesn't do. I can give you examples. The Episcopal Church USA does stuff that the average church doesn't do. They ordain active homosexuals to be bishops. Why? For the very same reason Juanita Bynum is encouraging you to do other things. They claim to have heard from God. They said this is a move of the Spirit of God. They claim that God is doing a new thing. They heard from God. He said homosexuality is okay. And who's to gainsay the fact that they have claimed to have heard from God? So when a church starts abandoning God's word for the word that they think God is speaking to them individually, they will do stuff that the average church doesn't do. But it won't be good.
see, they said to our church, well, why y'all, and I, well, you know, some people said, well, I think it's ridiculous that people are getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and people are praying. You know, you can pray at home. And then when they get to the church and find out that the prayer is the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous, then they start saying, well, you know, I don't think you got to do all that hollering because God ain't deaf, but God ain't nervous either. And do you know what the word fervent means? To the boiling point. And maybe that's what's wrong with us now. Maybe that's why we can't get a breakthrough now, because we're so busy trying to make God conservative and trying to make God all sophisticated. But the Bible that I read talks about a wheel in the middle of the wheel. The Bible that I read talks about that there is a power that's supposed to hit you when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Nobody has to pump you to praise God when you are in God's wheel. Don't nobody have to tell you to lift your hands and tell God, thank you. The song said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul begin to cry out. I can't hold my seat. I cannot stop praising God.
Okay, first mention of Jesus. First mention of Jesus. And she said, when I think of Jesus and all that he has done for me. And at this point, when I'm listening down in my office in preparation for the show this afternoon, I thought to myself, wow, she might be the first of all places to find the message of what Jesus has done for us. That is, lived a perfect life and died a perfect death bearing our sins. We might get it from, of all places, Juanita Bynum. In the middle of the shtick, in the middle of the theatrics, in the middle of the hoots and the catcalls, we might get the message of the cross. I was quite hopeful. My eyebrows went up. I thought for a moment, golly, you do find the message of the cross in the oddest places sometimes. Sad to say, and as you will hear when we come back, my hopes were temporary, and they were quickly dashed by the rest of the message. Although she did make reference to Jesus and all that he has done for me, she did not say what it was, at least not in the immediate future in this message. Now, few thoughts here as we go into this break. Notice how when Christ for you is replaced with Christ in you, the whole point of the Christian faith becomes you and what you do, and you preparing yourself to go to the next level, and you taking yourself to the next level. Your preparations, your machinations, your gymnastics . But all of the emphasis remains on you. Now, it sounds, it seems, and looks so obvious when it comes from the mouth of someone like Juanita Bynum that this is a message that takes the focus off of Christ and him crucified and puts it upon the believer. And they start preaching Christ, start preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. But folks, I want you to see this, and that's why we play something like this in the course of this hour. And no, TBN hasn't taken over KFUO. This is a good example, an obvious example, and to heighten your senses to hear the more subtle examples in the evangelical pulpits of today where we get preaching of the Christian and not of the Christ. We'll be right back with more of Juanita Bynum.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, etc.
When a Christian prays, what is he doing that's any different from a Muslim or a Jew or a Buddhist when he prays? When God answers Christian prayer, why does he answer? Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August is all about Christian prayer. It's called, Is God Listening? It's written by Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Andrew Steinman. You can order Is God Listening by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section, and you'll find the book, Is God Listening? By Dr. Andrew Steinman. It's our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August. Issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Being a Christian, is it a blind faith?
Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis.
Well, Ken, the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to believe the things of God. But what sort of faith is it? Shouldn't we just blindly believe the Bible?
Well, the exciting thing about being a Christian is that it's not a blind faith. In fact, it's the evolutionist who has the blind faith. Sadly, I've found many Christians who don't see this at all. I've often found that when I've asked a Christian young person how they know God is creator, well, they may tell me that they have to have a blind faith. But I explain to them that we're commanded by the Apostle Peter to give reasons for what we believe. We're also told in the Bible that the evidence that God is creator is so great, if someone doesn't believe, he's without excuse. I then teach young people like this how to defend their faith logically, that design needs a designer. The information in our highly complex genes couldn't arise by chance, and intelligence had to be responsible. The evidence fits with the Bible, not with chance processes required by evolution. What kind of faith is the Christian faith? Well, it's a logical, defensible faith, right from the very first verse of the Bible, and it makes sense of the world.
What does the Bible have to say about extraterrestrial life and UFOs? That's the topic of Ken Ham's free booklet, available on our website, AnswersRadio.com. Log on to AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. A person who is print literate can understand messages that are conveyed through words on a printed page. But in our society today, messages are also sent through media such as TV and movies. Some of these messages reinforce our Christian faith and morals, but many do not. Therefore, it is important that our children learn to be media literate as well as print literate. When a TV show begins to encourage a non-Christian lifestyle, you may want to change the channel. But in some cases, it might be better to discuss the program with your children. Explain to them that in Christ, we have been given a better way of living. A child who is media literate recognizes immorality in the media when he sees it. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at www.cmli.org.
Life sometimes seems like a wild ride down a raging, churning river. Find aid, refreshment, and direction for the journey with psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson on Focus on the Family. With team effort, you can navigate the rapids of circumstance.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're listening to the preaching of Juanita Bynum. She's preaching on the phrase from the Lord's Prayer, Thy Will Be Done. Her program, Weapons of Power, is on Wednesdays in the St. Louis area on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. This is part of our ongoing and occasional series as we talk about popular preaching. We deal with the television preachers because they're most easily accessible, but they serve as examples. Even the more people would say, no, Juanita Bynum is on the fringe, and that may well be. She's word faith. There's no doubt about it. You will hear her expand upon that theme in just a few minutes, basically name it and claim it kind of a theology. Well, so was Creflo Dollar. But they also serve as good examples of the tendency of preaching today to move away from the Christ and toward the Christian. The message starts focusing more upon the Christian than on the Christ. The cross, in some cases, is entirely absent. We've done 9, 10. Is this the 10th one we've done in the last couple of months? No, at this point, we've gone Charles Stanley, Robert Schuller, D. James Kennedy. He may not count because we did him on the 4th of July and he was all patriotic that day. We have done Creflo Dollar, Joel Osteen twice, Joyce Meyer, Juanita Bynum. I may be leaving someone else out. Not yet a single explicit mention of the cross. Now, you might say, well, wouldn't you think, just in terms of the probabilities, that if you go through enough popular evangelical preachers, you're going to run across someone, just a random sampling, someone mentioning the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on Christian broadcasting? from Christian preachers preaching to Christian audiences, ostensibly Christian messages. It's one of those things, and I've said this so many times in the course of doing this show, just when you think you have overstated the case, just when you think that you have too dim a view of what's going on, it gets proven to you, and it's worse than you thought it was. Just when you think that, no, maybe I'm overplaying, overplaying this, that Christ really isn't so absent from our pulpits today. You walk into a church, you listen to a message, and you can sit through 25 minutes, and the message of Christ and Him crucified doesn't get mentioned. Or, say in the case of maybe Joel Osteen, you might get a mention of Jesus at the end, making Him the Lord and Savior of your life. And that's all the more you'll get. You would think that these preachers didn't believe that their people needed to hear the message of the cross. I wonder how they justified so radically deviating from Paul's mindset, which is, I gotta preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Every opportunity I need to make the mystery of Christ plain. I've determined to know nothing save Christ and Him crucified. There's a lot of boasting in the Christian and very little boasting in the cross of Christ, like Paul. But maybe the church has moved on from Paul, or maybe they've got a new word beyond what Paul heard, or maybe that message of the cross is just passé. Let's pick up Juanita Bynum again.
That's why some of y'all in here tonight that God want to do something for, you ought to turn to your neighbor and say, baby, you can have the cute prize. Because see, sometimes you will come in here and think that it's television and sit down next to somebody and they all made up. But I don't know about you, but I came to get something from the Lord. He said, Lord, I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but I believe I got somebody in here that want to have some church. I said, I believe I got somebody in here that want to have some church. Because see, the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts, my God, at the righteousness he shall be filled. Is there anybody here that's hungry and thirsty? My God.
She's made reference to this Bible passage about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Is she going to deliver what it is sinners, repentant sinners, ought to hunger and thirst for? Is she going to deliver the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ? It's a simple question. That's the dividing line between a Christian message and something that is simply a counterfeit Christian message, preached perhaps by a Christian to Christians, but the content of it is something other than the good news. Oh, it's full of good news, but all the good news revolves around you and what you do. Now, that's not actually good news. Paul says it's not good news at all. It's bad news. But it's full of all sorts of counterfeit gospel. She says, I want something from the Lord. What is that something? Just answer that question, and we could stop the tape and go on to talk about other things. Just answer that question. What is that something that Juanita Bynum wants to receive from the Lord? Is it the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation? Or has she moved past that to the next level where what she wants is something new, something different than what Jesus died on the cross to give her?
See, that's why you got to turn around and look at people and say, don't mind me, honey. I done found the will of God. Therefore, I got to do what He tell me to do. See, I may not praise God the way you praise God, but when the Spirit of the Lord speaks and says, start jumping, I don't care what you think. Because you know what? Something is about to happen for my life while I'm jumping. When God says, start yelling, I'm going to start yelling because something is about to happen for my life. When I tap the divine will of God, I hear only Him. I'm not moved by my circumstance. I'm not moved by other people. I'm moved by what God is saying. My God, I wish I had somebody to understand that tonight. I'm not moved by what I think. I'm moved by the voice of God. He said here, y'all sit down, because you know, I'm about to get ahead of myself, because see, I'm still on 5 o'clock prayer this morning. So I haven't calmed down since this morning. And I feel really bad that they put me up here like this, because see, that thing is still on me from my church, and we just belong to Old Country Church. Come on, somebody. See, we don't know nothing about sitting down crossing our legs, because when we look back at what God brought us from, all we can do is get up and give God the praise. When we think about where we were 5 days ago, when we think about where we were last year, all I can do is magnify the Lord.
But she isn't magnifying the Lord. She's magnifying herself. Notice how many times she is the subject of the verbs. I this, I that, I. Okay, we've got a lot of Juanita Bynum and very little of Jesus Christ so far. Now, she has at least given him the honor of saying that he's done something for her, although it's still a mystery as to what that something is. Notice how she puts the focus upon you. What you're supposed to do is look at where you were and where you are now, and that's the good news. The good news isn't what Jesus did for you. It isn't his perfect life. It's your improved life. This is what I mean when I talk about preachers preaching the Christian rather than the Christ.
My God! See, sometimes, Pastor said the other Sunday, he said you ought to have a flashback sometime. Sometimes you ought to let your mind flashback at where you was this time last year, where you were 2 months ago, and realize that if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? See, that's why when you come into a place like this, we ain't got time to have no show. I ain't get nobody saying nothing right there. We ain't got time to have no show. Because every time I get a chance to drink from the fountain, I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's in the studio. I don't care if it's in the kitchen. I don't care if it's in the grocery store. I don't care if it's in my car. Wherever the power of God shows up, that's where I want it. He said here, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. He said, the human will is to be subject to the purpose and the intentions of the Father. Y'all. He said, if Christ lives in us, then we automatically possess a nature of obedience.
We're going to pause here for just a moment. Christ in you rather than Christ for you. Christ in you rather than Christ for you. If you don't have Christ for you, you don't have Christ in you. And she has delivered nothing of Christ for you yet. That is the message of Christ and Him crucified for you. It's not there yet. Now, maybe she thinks her people already know this. The gospel assumed is the gospel denied. How long will you assume that people know that there is a Savior? I heard a preacher, I can't remember who it was this weekend, we don't need to tell people about their sin. He just came out and said it. I think I was listening to, the name just escapes me. We don't need to tell people that they're sinners. They know that already. We just need to introduce them to Jesus. And I thought to myself, well, that's stupid. Because there are a lot of people I know who don't know they're sinners who need a Savior. Do they have an innate knowledge that they have violated God's law? Of course, but they need to hear God's law to remind them of that. I mean, that's basically saying people don't have to repent. They don't need to know they're sinners. We just need to tell them Jesus loves them. This goes a step beyond that, folks. Not only do you not need to know you're not a sinner, that you're a sinner, you don't even need to know that God loves you. Really, you don't need to know that Jesus died for you. Because Juanita Bynum has moved on to the next level. She's moved on to the next level. When you replace Christ for you with Christ in you, it puts all the emphasis on you. Then the only thing you're left to do is look at your own life and constantly try and get good news out of yourself. You're no longer focusing on the perfect life Jesus lived for you. Now you're focusing on you and your self-improvement. And it can't be any, you can give God the credit for the improvement, but when the good news is how much you've improved, rather than the perfect life Jesus lived for you, which of his righteousness alone avails before God, when the focus is upon you and how much you've improved, that's not good news. Unless, of course, you could improve to the point of perfection. And then it would be good news. Then you would be capable of literally earning your own salvation.
Lord God, God was writing some stuff down that morning to me. He said, do you not know that when my will finds its place on the inside of you, that comes with a word called yes, that automatically the word yes is birthed on the inside of your spirit, and you would find yourself getting up some mornings and God would tell you, turn down your plate, and you will see a chicken leg and want to eat it, but something in you can't disobey God. Because a yes, Lord, is being birthed on the inside of you. And sometimes your family may not understand it. My friends may not understand it. But when I begin to tell God yes, I meant that from the bottom of my heart. That means yes, I'll give up everything and everybody to follow. God. I said, God, I said, God, I said, what are you saying? He said, it comes with the built-in yes. You wake up in the morning and don't even know what you're saying yes, Lord, to. You just wake up out of your sleep saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You'll go to bed saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You're riding down the street. Somebody said, what you saying yes to? I don't even know, because I'm telling you what, when the will of God comes, he don't tell you where you're going. When it's time for the divine plan to show up, he don't tell you where you're going. Because what he wants you to know is this, and that is, I'm in control. And if I show you where you're going, you may change your mind and say, no, God. And that's why he said, I got to put this yes, Lord, on the inside of you, that you're able to walk in the darkness, knowing that God is my leader. God is my light. God is my pathway. I don't have to know where I'm going. All I have to know is that I'm in the divine will of God. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here.
Now, she may feel the Holy Ghost, but I have some serious doubts as to whether or not what she's feeling is the Holy Ghost. And for example, some, you might say, listen how dynamic and enthusiastic and almost slightly out of control she is. That's got to be the work of the Spirit. No, folks, the only way you know if the Spirit is at work is if you hear someone testifying to Jesus. Jesus makes it clear in John's Gospel. When this Holy Spirit shows up, will he make you enthusiastic? Will he make you excited? Will he make you feel that he's there? Maybe, maybe not. One thing he will do, and this he must do, if he does nothing else, testify to Jesus Christ. He will bear witness of me. Now, to this point in the message, she may be getting to it, but at this point in the message, Juanita Bynum has yet to testify of what Christ has done. So to this point, she cannot say, no matter what she feels, that the Holy Ghost is at work. I see no evidence of it yet. If she were to, in the next sentence, start to testify to Christ and him crucified, then, whether you feel it or not, we could say the Holy Spirit's at work.
My God, I feel, Lord, I wish, you know, I should have brought our prayer meeting here tonight. Because you know what? I'm telling you, when you start talking about the divine will of God, you start noticing that favor jumps on your back. I'm not getting nobody to say nothing right there. You start finding out that look, when I look around, I'm suffering more than anybody else around me. But my God, I'm being blessed more than anybody else around me. Oh my God, because the Bible said that I reckon that this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us if we give God a real yes, Lord. I'm not talking about a church yes, Lord. I'm talking about when you tell God yes until you feel something turn over on the inside. Oh my God. He doesn't know how to shut. Oh my God. My God. He said, oh my God. He said, I want you to understand that when I allowed you to be born again, he said, the new birth does not have its source in the human will, but the divine will. He said, when you are born again, then you don't look to nothing around you to be your source. God, I'm talking to somebody. When you're born again for real, then your mother is not your source. Your bank account is not your source. When you're born again, you're able to look at something that somebody else told you it'll never happen. But you're able to speak those things which be not as though they were.
All right, now, this is one would expect here, the tipping of the word faith hand. She's giving her props to the word faith teaching, that you will now be able to speak things into existence, if you didn't notice that. I do want you to notice, however, how she modified Juanita Bynum in this message here, how she modified the Bible passage she quoted. The present sufferings are not to be compared with the glory to be revealed in us if we give God a yes. Now, she goes on in a contradictory way to say that when you're born again, and she was absolutely right on this, when you're born again, it is not the product of human will, but of divine will. There she is making reference to the first chapter of John. But then she turned right around again and say, oh, but yes, it is, because you've got to give your yes. Now, it's the yes God put on the inside of you, but it's still your yes. Uh, What in the world, where in the world would a person be left here with this emphasis on themselves? Think about that. Now, you say, I don't hear this when I go to church on Sunday morning. Maybe not with the theatrics, maybe without the shouting and the heavy breathing, maybe not the, as we'll hear in a minute, the little zaps that we'll get from the organ, if we get to that as time permits. The message, folks, the message. People say, oh, you don't like the style. No, it has nothing to do with the style. I have no problem with listening to preaching like this if it was preaching Christ. No problem whatsoever. I don't care if the preacher does cartwheels. I don't care if they shoot themselves out of a cannon as long as they're proclaiming the cross when they do it. They can jump through flaming hoops for all I care. Preach Jesus. Please, Juanita Bynum, preach Jesus for once. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues, Etc. We're walking through this message here. We won't get through the whole thing. It's just simply too long. But let's give her the benefit of the doubt and see if she can get to the cross in the time left to us with minimal interruptions.
I'm not getting nobody to praise God right there. Because you know why? Because sometimes the devil got you trapped in what you see. Sometimes the devil got you looking at your circumstance. But you better tap the divine will of God and understand that no matter where I am right now, I know where I'm going because I'm in the divine will of God, not the divine will of man. Oh, my God. Y'all, can I just read a few more here? He had me write in that morning. He said, if it is God's will, he said, it is God's will, his uncertainty. He said, I want you to understand this. And that is when Paul began to talk about anything that I do, I'm going to say, if it be the will of God, if it be the will of God. He said what he was trying to say, Juanita, that if God's will is uncertain about my future, but my confidence is in the fact that God has constructed my personal destiny. My God, in other words, I may not know about right now, but I know about my future. Why do I know about my future? Because I know who holds my hand. The Bible said he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as pure gold.
Now, you're saying at this point, I know you are, but isn't that good news? She's talking about how God will guide our future. Isn't this the good news? She's talking about how God has ordained a purpose for our lives. This is all true, by the way, folks. This is all true. Remember, as in so much of what Christians sing nowadays, so it is with so much of what Christians hear preached nowadays. The error is not in what is preached so much. It sometimes it is, as with what is not preached. You can preach the truth for 25 minutes, but if you fail to preach the cross, you haven't preached Christ. It's what's left out. It's what's omitted. Now, is it true that God has ordained a divine purpose? Is it true that he will guard our future and hold our hand to protect us through whatever may come, and that we can trust him regardless of what lies in the future, and that his will is good? Yes. But if you leave out the reason the Christian can be assured that God's will is good, namely, that it was God's will that his son suffer for your sins as your substitute and your savior, you have given the Christian no real assurance. No real assurance that, say, the Mormon doesn't have, or the Muslim does. The Muslim believes that Allah has ordained a purpose for their life and that he is guiding their future. What the Muslim doesn't believe is that Allah sent his son to bear his sins. That's the difference between a Muslim message and a Christian message. Just a little bit more. Let's just do a little bit more. We won't get through the whole thing, but just a little bit more to round this off.
Oh, my God. So I have to keep talking. Pastor, I have to keep talking to myself. I have to keep saying, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm talking to somebody's ministry right now. I shall not be moved. It's not going the way I thought it should go, but I shall not be moved because I know that where I am now, I'm going through a death walk, and this walk is purposeful that I may get to the other side. I gotta die in my flesh that I may live in the will of God. And so my answer is yes, Lord. My answer is yes, Lord. Somebody ought to start shouting it right quick. Somebody ought to shout, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody ought to shout, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Somebody ought to shout, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Ooh, that came to an abrupt end, didn't it? My goodness. That's not the end of the message, by the way. And we did not mean to do that. That was a technical difficulty, perhaps caused by the not-so-nimble fingers of my producer. What yes comforts the sinner? She's saying, yes, Lord, and there's nothing wrong with saying, yes, Lord. Although she did say, I have to crucify my flesh so that I might live in the obedience. That's not how Paul puts it. Paul says, I have died. It's not I who live any longer. It is Christ who lives in me. And he's not talking about just Christ in me. What does he say? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself, that's the cross, gave himself for me. That's Christian preaching. If you stop at, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, that's Christian-ish preaching. Sounds kind of Christian, but unless you have the cross, it's not Christian. The only yes that comforts the sinner, that comforts the Christian, the only yes that comforts us is when God says yes to us sinners. Yes, I forgive your sins. Yes, you have eternal life because my Son suffered for you. So we've gone 10 now. Is this 10? And no cross. It's enough to make you cry. By the way, Juanita Bynum has her take on Christian prayer and thy will be done. If you'd like the right take on this, the scriptural take, the one that is truly Christ-centered and cross-focused, get our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August. It's called Is God Listening? I'll tell you, folks, God isn't listening because you scream and shout to heaven or because you feel the Holy Ghost. He's listening because Jesus died for you. Jesus' blood opens God's ears and gets God's undivided attention for you so that when you pray, you know he will answer for Christ's sake. The book is called Is God Listening? It's $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Order it from Concordia Publishing House any weekday during business hours. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. When you call or write, mention Issues, etc. issuesetc.org, look under the What's New section. Tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking to the author of that book, Is God Listening, Dr. Andrew Steinman, tomorrow about a proper praise of God, speaking forth God's wonderful deeds, and daily tips for daily prayer. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.